Have your Bibles, turn to Hosea chapter 4. We're beginning a new series. The series is called A Home or a Hell, Building a Home or a Hell. Which one do you have? Is your home good? Is it a heaven? Is it a place that you love to go home to and enjoy rest, relax, or is it a hell? A place that causes you all sorts of grief and bad times and yelling and screaming and What are you building? We've taught this before. It's been one of the most popular series that we've done over the years. In fact, the very first series that I've really done since I came to this town was one of these, was the series on home and family. I promise you there'll be new things said. Even if you've heard this several times, I promise you there will be new things said. It'll have the same title as I used last time, but I'll have new thoughts, better thoughts. I think some new thoughts that will help you and encourage you. If you are married or have ever been married or ever plan to be married, then this is for you. It's going to help you. It's going to encourage you. And my title today is I Refuse to Be Ignorant. Would you say that back to me? I refuse to be ignorant. One more time. I refuse to be ignorant. You see, being ignorant is a decision that we make. You decide to be ignorant or not. You decide whether you're going to be learned or ignorant. It's like going to school. You decide if you're going to do your homework and read the lesson and make good grades and learn, or you decide to be dumb. It's that simple. And in the Bible, we get to make the decision that we don't have to be ignorant. And I have refused to be ignorant. And I want to share that with you. I want you to make that decision as well. So I want to challenge you. I want to provoke you. I want to cause you to look at some things in your life and in your family and just see really where you are going. What's going on in your life and in your family? I remember the day. It was June the 26th, 1967. I was at the altar of Midway Methodist Church with my beautiful bride. I was all of 19 years old, and she was all of 17. We said our vows one to another. We turned. We were presented as Mr. and Mrs. Delbert Young. We walked out of that church, and we have lived happily ever after. It has been a fairy tale life. Everything, every day has been wonderful. Are you laughing? You don't believe that? You're right. You're right. It wasn't. A year later, we had a baby. Didn't have enough money to pay the bills. We fussed a lot, trying to live with our parents. Fussing with them. Got to where we didn't like each other. And our marriage was heading for destruction. And it was downhill for many years. But then something changed. And all of a sudden, I got something, got a hold of something. And now here we are, 38 years, 39. We don't know. Does it really matter? Long time. So I want you to grab something from this. I want your marriage not just to make it. I want your marriage to be powerful and successful. I want your marriage to be good. You see, there is no such thing as a happily ever after. What I mean by that is a fairy tale happily ever after. There's no such thing as a perfect home or a perfect marriage. You have times. But it's what you do in the good times that set up things in life so that you can go through the bad times. And we're going to be talking about some of those things. So allow me, if you will, to begin off and start off with some positive thoughts and some positive statistics, some things that I've been able to, the most recent things that I've been able to locate and to share with you. So here is a chart, and this chart is from the Census Bureau's statistics, abstract of the United States National Vital Statistics Report. Now, what I've showing you here is the divorce rate since 1990. And it starts with 91 at 47%. 92 at 48%, 46, 46, 46, 43, 43, 42, 41, 41, 40, 40, 39, 37. Today's divorce rate is 37%. What's positive about that? It's declining. Listen, I want to encourage you. I want to tell you something. Something wonderful is happening in our society. I want you to know that the odds are for your marriage making it. It used to be the other way around. But I'm wanting to tell you that the odds are 63% for you. Your marriage can make it. Your marriage is important. Do you know that Vegas would take those odds every day of the week? You're going to make it. The odds are for you. They're not against you. Something wonderful is happening in our society. I was in Walmart this past week, as most of you were. I was in there, and I noticed something that caught my attention, something I had never quite noticed before. I noticed dads lovingly and desiringly taking care of their children. I saw dads putting their children in the carts and strapping them in. Not because they had to do it, but because they were really enjoying doing it. They were laughing and cutting up with the baby infants and you know, 2-3 year olds, and they were in there and they were enjoying it. And I saw this 4 or 5 times, and I wasn't in there that long. The only person that I saw that wasn't happy with their child was a woman. And she was upset because her child obviously wanted something that she wasn't going to buy for her. But every dad I saw in those times was just really enjoying being with their child. I watched my son with his newborn. And it's a blessing to me because dads I'm seeing now are really enjoying their children. You know, that is a fulfillment of what the Bible said, right? Malachi says that I will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. And so something wonderful is happening in our society now. You see, I think that that's one of the reasons that the divorce rate is declining. It's because all of a sudden dads are understanding that they're really fathers and aren't here just to sire children. And I told you, like Mother's Day, the best thing a father or a dad can give his wife for Mother's Day is to love her children. Because inside of her is this need to have children and be mom. And the best thing that we can give to them and make our marriages work is to love the children. Another thing that is very, very positive, and I want to share with you. In the 2004 presidential elections, The topic of gay marriages was big. We got to literally go to the polls and vote if we wanted to legalize gay marriages. Do you know that overwhelmingly our country voted that down? Overwhelmingly. Only 5 states approved it and were pro-gay marriage. And those states were... Let me call them so you'll never move there. Alaska, California, Colorado, Maine, and Oregon. Those were the only ones that approved gay marriage. Now, what am I trying to say from that? See, society is beginning to see again, once again, how important marriage is. How important a home is. How important it is to have a marriage and a home that does what a marriage and a home is supposed to be and do. So what I'm expressing to you is something positive. Homes are good. Your home is important. It's where you should be able to go and get rejuvenated and find peace and joy. It's where you should be able to go and instruct and rear your children. It's where children should learn the things of the kingdom, because if we don't give it to them, there'll be nobody to take it on to the next generation. You see, really, in our homes, we should be more influential to our children than are their friends. We should be spending more time ingraining into them the correct ways of life than do their friends. But it's not that way a lot of times. So what I'm wanting to share with us today is I want to encourage you, and I want to let you know that the stats are for you. The marriages today are working, and the divorce rate is going in the correct direction. And I want you to be encouraged. And the purpose of our series is not just to make your marriage make it. I don't want to just make you stay together. I want you to have a powerful marriage and a powerful home. I want it to be vibrant and meaningful. Is it? Is your marriage vibrant and meaningful? Is it? Is it what you want it to be? And this is what I want to get to in our series. This is what I want to talk about. So I believe I can help you. I believe that I've learned things through marriage, through rearing children, through the Bible and life that I think will be beneficial to your home and to your family, and that you can build a home and not a hell. Let me ask you a question. Why do homes fall? Why do homes fail? Now, if we were to throw that out and really ask for answers, we would come up with all sorts of answers. It's his fault or her fault, or he ran around or she ran around, or you know, his ex and my ex and all in-laws and outlaws. And we could come up with all sorts of things. But what I want to do in the next few minutes is give you the answer. The answer that every other answer will bow to. The answer. And I want to share that with you. And if you will take this answer and apply it to every other problem that you have, I promise you, your marriage will be vibrant. Your marriage and your home will be good. And your marriage will be exactly what you want it to be and what it's supposed to be. Why does it seem that, you can cry out to God, you can pray to God, and still marriages fail? You can pray, you can beg God, but still marriages fail. I watch this all the time. Why is it that a home developed in a proper order is so important to God that he says if your home is in chaos, you can't be a leader in his church? Why is that so important to God? Why is it that two people can really and truly be in love, really and truly be in love, but yet their home fails? Why is it that Christian counseling can be given to a home in trouble, yet still the home fall? The counselor tells the person what to do, how to do, gives them the answers, yet still the home falls. Why is that? What can you do to make certain that your home doesn't fall, that your home makes it? What is it that you can do? See, I want to give you some real answers to these very real questions. I want to come in here on Sundays, and I want to share with you some things that will cause you and help you build a home and not a hell. Now, I'm aware that in here today, 37% at least of the marriages have experienced and suffered divorce. And I'm very aware that of those who have experienced that, many have remarried. I'm aware of that. And in those remarryings, you're now forced to deal with your exes and your spouse's exes. You're forced to now deal with your children and his or her children. You're forced to deal with outlaws and in-laws and extended families. I'm very aware of that. But I think I can help you. I think I can give you some solutions and some answers. I'm very aware, and I also know that many of us have gone through times where we are experiencing rebellious children. Where, you know, your child's rebelling and it's sucking the very life out of you. It's undermining your home. It's causing stress and strain between you and your spouse. It's causing destruction between you and the relationships that you have with your other children. I'm very aware of that, but I think I have some answers, and I think I can help you. I'm aware that some of you have never been married, but you plan to one day. I can help you see the spouse that you should select. I can help you show you and tell you how to select a spouse that will be there until death do you part. I can help you. And in this series, these are some of the things that I want to go through and help you with. I'm aware that at this very minute, some of you are literally living in a hell and not a home. You don't want to go home. All that's there is fussing and fighting. All that's there is fire and brimstone. But I can help you. If you will take the principles that we will share over these next weeks and apply them, they will work for you every day of the week, 7 days a week, 30 days a month, or 31, or 28 or 29 leap year, 365 or 4 days a year, whatever, however that works. They will work for you every single day. So let's get started. Why do homes fail? Why? Why? We're going to look at one scripture today, and just one scripture, but we're going to go through it, and we're going to draw from it, and we're going to get some precious principles. But why do homes fail, and why do we fail at anything? Why? Not just homes, but why do we fail at anything? Let's read this scripture in Hosea 4:6. I hope you're there in your Bibles. If not, of course, they'll be on the screen. God says, my people, and you might want to circle that, my people, this isn't lost people. This isn't people far from God. These are born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, Bible-toting people. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, just while I'm there, and while we're all looking at it, does that say my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, or my people are destroyed because of the devil? Oh my. You can't blame the devil on your marriage, can you? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. I also reject you as my priest. In other words, you're not able to really minister for me and do what you're supposed to be doing, and you're destroyed because you don't know knowledge. Because you have ignored, you want to circle ignored, you have ignored the law of your God, I also ignore your children. Whoa. Now how does that verse work out in real life? So let me first help you equate what I'm wanting us to see. We're going to take this verse and we're going to work in different areas of it, but right now I want to work in the first part that I want to talk about is because you have ignored the law of your God. So the first thing that we have to understand is we have to first equate the law of your God to the way life works. It's the first thing you got to do. You have to equate the law of your God to the way life works. In other words, the law of your God is how God designed the universe to operate. Let me say that again. The law of your God is how God designed the universe to work. One more time. The law of your God is how God designed the universe to work. Let me use this as an example. What is the law as far as the rotation of the earth? How many hours does it take the earth to rotate on its axis to go completely around? 24 hours, is that correct? That is the law of your God. That is how it works, and it's only changed one time since the beginning. Only one time. And we didn't change it, God changed it, right? So it's going to go around 24 hours, it'll be this time tomorrow. It rotates, that is a law of your God. I cannot change that, you cannot change that. It is a law of your God. It's how it works. Now, we arrange our lives according to this 24-hour rotation, and it works pretty well, right? We know when we're supposed to be at work and when we're supposed to come home. We know when we're supposed to eat supper and when we're supposed to go to bed. And so as long as we kind of order our lives along that way, we have a pretty ordered life and things go pretty well. Now let me make sure we understand that during this 24-hour, it's not always sunny, is it? Sometimes we go through storms. Sometimes we go, but there's more good days, there's more sunshiny days than there are stormy days, correct? Sometimes there's hurricanes, and sometimes there's tornadoes, and sometimes there's vehement rainstorms, but at most of the time, it is a good day, and as long as we orchestrate our lives according to that, we're in sync with everybody else, and we're in sync with our bosses, and our wives, and our children, and then life kind of goes along pretty good. But let's say that I want to change that now, and I want to have 13-hour days. I don't like 24-hour days, so I'm going to do 14-hour days. Maybe you'd like 12. So we're going to change it, and we're going to do it our way. Now, how do you get along in life? How do you eat, sleep? Is everything in order with everybody else, or are you totally out of sync with everything? Are you going to work when you should be coming home? Are you eating when you should be sleeping, or going when you should be coming? See, all of a sudden, our life is out of order because we decided to do something our way and not do it by the law of our God. The law of our God is 24 hours. And if we get away from that, then we get out of sync. Now, you're saying, Delbert, that's silly. Who's going to try to change that law? Who's going to try to change their lives to have 12 hours or 13 hours or 14 hours a day? Well, it is silly. And that's exactly my point. Because you see, when it comes to like selecting a spouse, we want to do it our way and not the way it works. Do you know that there is a law of God for selecting of a spouse? And if you will do it His way, it'll work every time. Every day. 365 plus, minus, whatever, days a year. From death do you part. It will work if you do it according to the law of your God. It's how life works. We want to do relating to our spouses our way. Do you know that the Bible tells us how to relate to our spouses? Do you know it tells the man how to relate to the wife and the wife how to relate to the husband? And if you do it that way, it will work every single day, 365 days a year, until death do you part. But if you do it your way, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Do you know that the Bible gives us the laws of your God concerning rearing your children? And if you do it His way, it will work 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. During the whole life, while that child is under your roof or growing, it will work. But if you do it your way, you're going to have rebellious children. You're going to be building a hell and not a home. You see, we want to change the laws of our God. We want to ignore them and do it our way. Do you know that God has specific instructions? It's the law of your God concerning your finances. Do you know that one of the main problems that I have to counsel people about in marriages is our finances? Do you know that your finances can destroy your marriage? And you know why? Because you did it your way. You went to a 12-hour day or a 14-hour day or a 36-hour day rather than working with a 24-hour day. And all of a sudden, finances don't work. But if you do it according to the law of your God, the way He says to do it, it'll work 24 hours a day and 365 days a year until death do you part. You see, people are destroyed because they have ignored the law of our God. How many of us believe that our ways are better than God's ways? Of course you don't. But yet we do it my way. And we are destroyed. Okay. But while I'm on that, how many of us do know the laws of our God concerning selection of a spouse? Do you know the laws of our God concerning getting along with your spouse? The laws of our God concerning rearing of children and disciplining children, the laws of our God concerning your finances. You know, if you know those things, then you're going to be okay. But if you don't know those things, you're going to suffer some destruction. Working again now, in Hosea 4:6, let's look at this again, another part that I want to look at. It says, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Now, the Hebrew word translated destroyed is dama. And it means to be dumb or silent. And I could just take off right there. When you don't know the law of your God, Jesus says, if you'll speak to the mountain, if you'll speak to the obstacle, and you'll command it to be cast into the sea, it will obey you. But if you don't know the law of your God, you don't know what to speak. You don't know what to pray. So you become dumb and silent, hence to fail or perish. That's what the word means. Dumb, silent, fail, perish. So what the verse is actually saying is this: my people are dumb, fail, and perish from lack of knowledge. Now I want you to think about that just a minute. Is there anything in your life that had you had enough knowledge, sufficient knowledge concerning, that you would have failed at doing? Is there anything in your life that you failed at that had you had sufficient knowledge about that issue that you would have failed? Let me give you an example. You know that crazy ex of yours? Would you have ever married that crazy person had you had enough knowledge? Had you known then what you know now? You can go back to school with this. You see, because we don't apply ourselves in school, we fail. We don't do the homework. We don't read the lesson. We're going to do it our way. We change God's ways. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Let me give you this thought. You see, knowledge is the difference between success and failure. You've heard the saying that knowledge is power. It really is. If you have knowledge about anything, you can be successful. But my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. So I want to ask you, what do you really know that is absolute about building a home? What do you really know that is operative 24 hours a day, 365 days a year? What do you really know? Do you really know how to relate to a spouse, select a spouse? Do you really know how to do finances? Do you really know how to rear children? What do you know? Because if you don't know, it just simply means you have ignored the ways of your God, the laws of your God. Hosea 4:6 also says this: because you have ignored the law of your God. The Hebrew word translated here in Hosea 6 as ignored in the NIV Bible and as reject in the King James Version is meak. And what it means is to spurn. Spurn. See, it's not that knowledge isn't available. It's that I have spurned the knowledge. I wanted to do it my way. I can use this perhaps right now. I built this little house with a plan. Studs on 16 centers, you know. Built this one according to a plan. I built this one, I just guessed. Do you know which one required the most material and the most nails? That one. Do you know which one took the longest? That one. Oh, I got it built. But you see, I had a plan. I had to use some knowledge, some specs. It says that my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge because you've ignored the law of your God. Because you have ignored, you've spurned it. You did it your way. And now you're building something. And it's going to be the way it should be, or it's going to be some other way. Because you have ignored the law of your God, he says. Ignoring available information does something to me. Now, I need you to answer this. What does my ignoring available information do to me? What does it make me? Ignorant, right? Right? Am I right? I am only ignorant if I ignore the information that is available. Go to school. We make the decision to be learned and do well in school or to be ignorant. We can ignore it and go through life ignorantly, or we can learn the information that is made readily available to us and have success and apply that information to our lives. See, it's not that the information is not available. Is there sufficient information about how our home should operate? Does God give us sufficient information? Then why are homes falling and failing? Because we have become ignorant concerning those principles. It's not that it's not available. We just did it our way. We rejected it. We ignored it. And so homes are built on ignorance. They're just thrown together. And we expect it to work. It will never work. It cannot work. What will cause us all to be successful is by taking the knowledge that God has provided to us and utilizing that. Because you have ignored the law of your God, is what he says. You know, and again, I want to make sure that we get this point. Do you know that we make the decision to be ignorant, right? You decide whether you're going to be ignorant or not. We all do. Paul was instructing the Corinthians in chapters 12, 13, and 14 of 1 Corinthians about the gifts of the Spirit. And he talks about in chapter 12, he lists the gifts and he talks about tongues and prophecies and how it works. And he goes to 13, talks about love, and he goes to 14 again and says how all this stuff is to work in the church. Very, very important instructions. Very, very important instructions. And he comes to the conclusion of that talk, of those instructions. And here is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 38. This is the NIV version. It says, if he ignores this, he himself will be ignored. What does that mean? If I ignore the gifts, if I am ignorant of the gifts, if I reject the gifts, then the gifts will reject me. If I don't believe it, you know, Robert Gay was here a couple of weeks ago, and I heard this by a lot of people. I don't believe in that. Well, then you can be ignorant. Because if you ignore it, then it will ignore you. Gifts cannot function in your life if you just ignore them. And then he goes in the King James Version, which is potent. King James Version says, but if any man be ignorant, what? I can't help you. Let him be ignorant. See, what God is telling us, and what I want us to make sure that we get today, is that we make the decision. It's not the devil, people. It's that we are ignorant of God's Word. And we build our house ignorantly. And we can have, though, a house that is built properly. We can have a house that functions 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, until death do us part. That we can come home to and be happy in. That we can experience righteousness, peace, and joy there. That we can rear up great families. That we can produce something for the kingdom of God that will shine and bring glory to Him. Something that will bring us peace. Something that will be just wonderful. See, that's what I want us to hear today. If we can get this point, then we're off to a great start in building our homes. Let me give you this. Your home cannot fail if you do it according to God's ways. Your home cannot fail if you do it according to God's ways. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have ignored the laws of your God. I will ignore you. Because we've rejected the laws of our God, the ways of our God, the way the universe works. If you do it according to the ways the universe works, the way God has set it up to do, then it's going to make it. Now, I got to make one more point from Hosea 4:6. It says, because you have ignored the law of your God, and I want to emphasize you there, so you might want to circle you, because you have ignored the law of your God, I also will ignore your children. Notice that what we as parents do and what your parents did will absolutely affect your children and did absolutely affect you. What we as parents do have such tremendous effect on our children. Now, that verse sounds harsh because it sounds like a loving God is just wanting to ignore. No. Let me try to give it to you the way it really works. When my wife and I began our home, we established our home basically from what we had learned from our parents. She had learned from her parents, I had learned from my parents, and so we came together and we began our homes along those ways. They didn't go to church, so we didn't go to church, right? They ignored God's ways, so we ignored God's ways. And I told you earlier, hey, we were heading for destruction. We were building our homes just exactly like they had built their homes. It wasn't working too well. So as I began my life, my marriage life, and I was rearing my child and children, as I began to be ignorant of God's ways, what was I teaching my son? It's not a trick question, but to be ignorant too. Ignorant of God's ways. Ignorant of how the universe works. And so as I was teaching my son and my daughter, she was seeing what I was projecting as a man, as manhood, as father, as dad. She was learning from her mother. He was learning from me and his mother. So guess what? How in all situations, most likely, how if that's what happens to us, we learn from our parents, we build our homes that way, then how will our children build their homes? The same way, right? And if I ignore God's laws and God's ways, that I'm teaching my children to be ignorant, which means I'm teaching them to ignore God's ways. And now, what's going to happen to my grandchildren? If something doesn't happen, and I'm ignorant, and I teach my son everything that I know, what have I taught him? Ignorance. And he's ignorant, and he teaches his son everything he knows, what's he taught him? And we've all ignored God's ways, and because we ignore God's way, God can't help us. What we do as parents means the success or the failure of our children. Let me put this now in some very real places. If I run my home by yelling and screaming and anger and intimidation, what am I teaching my son to do? How will he most likely raise his children and run his home? By yelling and screaming and intimidation. What is the attitude now that my daughter will have of manhood and fatherhood and what a husband should be? Yelling and screaming. Intimidation. So what kind of person will she most likely end up with as a husband? I've taught her that. Is that God's ways? Is that what he instructs us? Is that how a husband should be according to his ways, the way the universe works? No. And so what we do is we teach our children this, and let me tell you, I was once that person. I was once the yelling, screaming, intimidating father and husband. I threw things. I hit knocked holes in walls and doors. I kicked furniture. I did. And our home was heading for destruction. But something changed. I am no longer ignorant. I found something that works 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can too. Let me use one more example and then I'll close. In life, we want to do our finances our way. And a lot of times we're ignorant of God's ways. And so if I go through life my way with my finances, constantly overextending myself, constantly getting phone calls from bill collectors, constantly getting in debt and staying in debt and staying in financial bondage all of my life, what have I taught my children? That's not a trick question. What most likely will they do all of their lives? Yep. You see, I'm watching how we have reared our children unfold before my eyes right now. I'm watching this happen as they establish their homes. I'm watching them establish their homes the way they learned from their mom and me. And if I go through my life constantly overextended, never giving to the kingdom of God, I know Don said a while ago, pray and ask God how you should give. There are certain things you don't need to pray about. What does God's word say about tithing? Is it optional? And it makes your world go round. Now, I know you don't see that. Because you're doing it your way. But if you will do it His way, He says, I will open up the windows of heaven for you and I will pour you out a blessing that you will not have room to receive. What I have done by not giving to the kingdom of God, not giving according to the ways of God, not running my finances according to the ways of God, I have shut up heaven on my life. And God is ignoring me. I am ignorant. But if I'll do it, and I'll do it His way. Do you know I was that person? I was that person. I was getting phone calls all the time. Overextended. Oh, I had boats and cars and houses and all that stuff. But I had phone calls and I had debt out the gazoo. I was so in debt. It was so miserable. But do you know what? I found out something. That if I would do it according to the law of my God, it would work. And it works 24 hours a day. Now there's some storms, right? There's some hurricanes. There's some tough times. But it's going to rotate around again, and there's a lot more sunny days than there are cloudy ones. There's a lot more sunny days than there are stormy ones. And if you will do it according to the law of your God, it will always work every day, 365 days, every day of your life, it'll work. I've asked you earlier, why do homes fail? The answer I've tried to project to you, the answer that every other answer must bow its knee to, is that people ignore, spurn the ways of our God. We want to do it our way, and therefore we throw a home together, and it won't work. It won't make it. It's a hell. And not a home. But if we do it His way, according to His specs, according to His plan, you'll have something you're proud of, something that you can look back at and say, look at my home, look at my children, look at my finances. What are you building? How are you creating your home? According to God's specs or according to your ways? If you'll do it His way, I promise you, it'll work for the rest of your life. So I want to challenge you today. I really do. I want you to be challenged today. I want you to know that you can have your best life yet. You can have everything you want. You can have sunshine days and have storms that come that you just pass right through and just rotate right around. You can have a great and a wonderful life. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to come here and listen to this teaching. All of it. I want to challenge you to get it and study it. I want to challenge you to allow God to move in your life and to bring you into a place in your life that you can have your great life and your great home. Come and accept that challenge and don't be ignorant. Would you say that back to me one time? I refuse to be ignorant. I do. I want you to, and I want you to build a home and not a hell. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord. You have ways that work. Ways that cannot fail. As certain as this earth rotates on an axis every 24 hours, your ways work. They will not fail. So, Father, I pray that every person here today has heard that and they're challenged to get into the Word of God and to see what you say about it. And Lord, I ask you now in Jesus' name to touch every heart here. Cause them, Lord, to not be ignorant, to not ignore your ways, but to allow you to help them build a home and not a hell. I want your eyes closed, your heads bowed, please. I don't know where some of you are. I don't know if you know Jesus or if you've gotten away from Jesus. But if you have, let me tell you, God has a great life planned for you. You know it. You know what I've said is true. It bears witness in your spirit. And you know that you've gotten away from God and you need to get back. You know that. What I'm wanting to do right now is challenge you to respond to your heart beating, respond to your sweaty palms, respond to the Spirit of God that's calling you back, and come home and allow Him to work in your life and do something for you that you can't do for yourself. Stop being ignorant. Stop ignoring the ways of your God and allow Him to bless your life. How many is going to look at me now? How many of you are going to really enjoy this series? You're going to not be ignorant. You're going to allow God's Word to change your life. Would you raise your hand if that's you? Would you give the Lord a shout and a hand clap? Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to pray for you. I don't know what you may need. Maybe I just talked to you. Maybe you've gotten away from God and you want to come down and rededicate. Maybe you want to come down and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We'll be down here to pray for you. Maybe you're sick in your body. The Bible says we can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. The Bible says that wherever two or three are gathered together in His name, He's right there in the midst. And He'll give you whatever you need. What are you going through? What do you need today? God wants to take care of you. You are His child and His children. And as long as you're not ignoring Him and being ignorant and you're decided that you're going to really follow Him, He is going to move in your life. So let's pray for people now, okay? So Father, we do. We bless this moment and this time. Lord, I ask you now to touch lives, heal bodies. Father, fix situations that can't be fixed without being knowledgeable about the things of God. So Father, I ask you now in Jesus' name that you'll minister to your people and I bless them in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.